First Gospel record, Matthew chapter number 17 is where we'll be tonight. A couple weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago now, we spoke about the matter of prayer through the life of King Hezekiah. And I want to take us to that subject matter again tonight, the matter of prayer. We spoke about Hezekiah. We said that a man who prays is a man who is professing his powerless position. He knows who he is and he knows what he's not and he knows who God is. And then we said that a man who prays is spreading himself. That's what Hezekiah did. He spread that letter from Sennacherib. He spread that letter from the host of Sennacherib, and he spread that before the Lord. And we said that a man who prays is spreading himself before the supreme sovereign. And then we said that a man who prays is hoping. And by the way, we use that word in the biblical sense. And in the biblical sense, it's the idea of confidence. And we said that the man who prays is hoping to hear from heaven. And that's exactly what happened with Hezekiah. Isaiah came to him and gave him the message that came from heaven. And so tonight I want to continue the thought or come back to the thought of this of the matter of prayer. And so I want us to look, if we could, in verse number 14, Matthew chapter number 17. Let's begin reading in verse number 14. The Bible says, "And when they were come to the multitude," and by the way, this is immediately after, or I would say almost immediately, very soon after the transfiguration. In verse number 14, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out?" That'll be our title tonight. That'll be our subject matter tonight. Why couldn't we do it? Why couldn't we do it? Verse number 20, "And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief," there's the answer, "because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Notice verse number 21, "Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." And so I want to speak to us tonight on that subject. Why couldn't we do it? Father, help us tonight, teach us, and we'll surely thank you and praise you for what you'll do in these next few moments. Father, just remind us, charge us, provoke us, prompt us, stir us regarding this matter of prayer and regarding this matter of fasting tonight. Father, we need power. We are a powerless people. We're thankful tonight as your children that we have the power of the Holy Spirit. But that is still your power. Father, we are a helpless and powerless people. And Father, we need your power. Father, our families need someone who can touch the throne of God, your throne. Father, our communities need someone who can touch your throne, the throne of grace. Father, may we not have to ask the question, why couldn't we do it? Father, we understand the time, we understand the context here, but Father, we also understand the application and the truth that we find in this passage. And Lord, I pray that you teach us and remind us of that truth tonight. and we'll surely thank you for it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Somebody tell me tonight, what is the word fasting? What does that word mean? Anybody have an idea tonight? What does the word fasting mean? What is the idea of fasting? Because he says in verse 21, he says, howbeit, this kind goeth not out. Now, I believe when he says kind, I believe he's talking about what has just happened, what he's just done. He has cast out the devil out of this child. And he says, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. What does the word fasting mean? Okay, to give up something you love for a period of time, whatever that period of time would be. Somebody else say something over here? Right, to withhold or deprive yourself. Any other thought? I mean, that's kind of the idea. Fasting is primarily the act of voluntarily abstaining from something. What's the first thing we always think of in fasting? Food. Doesn't have to be food, though, does it? No, it can be many things. To voluntarily abstaining from something such as food or an activity for a period of time. The types and lengths of fast are many and varied, but the point of a fast is simply to abstain from the fulfillment of a fleshly need and even maybe a fleshly desire. By the way, I use that phrase. It doesn't mean that it's wrong when I use the term fleshly, but we abstain from it in order to be completely and totally surrendered to God. There are many examples of fasting in the Scriptures. Moses fasted before and after he was on the mount, Deuteronomy chapter number 9. David, when his son, the son that he had with Bathsheba, was struck with sickness in 2 Samuel 12, David fasted. The Ninevites in Jonah chapter 3, hoping to avert God's judgment, they fasted. Christ, how many days did he fast? 40 days. Fasted for 40 days and nights and was tempted of Satan. Paul, after his conversion on the road to Damascus, he fasted. So there are many examples, but there are also many teachings on fasting in the Scriptures. In Psalm 35:13, the Bible says that fasting is an act of humbling the soul. Psalm 35:13, it tells us specifically that fasting is an act of humbling the soul. In Acts chapter number 13, in verse number 2, it's when the church prayed and they separated Paul and Barnabas to the mission field. It is an act of seeking God's will. In Acts chapter number 13, the church was seeking God's will on the matter. And the Bible says specifically there in Acts chapter number 13 that they fasted. Now, by the way, let me say this. Fasting should never be an act of show. The Bible tells us that in Matthew chapter number 6, in verses 6 and 7, and then verses 16 through 18. It should never be an act of show. And the truth is, people should really never know when you're fasting. Now, your family may know. Your family may know. Because, you know, they just may know because they live in the house with you and, you know, hey, why is daddy not eating or why is mommy not eating or whatever. So they may know, but honestly, that should be it. Other people should never know. It should never be an act of show. And the truth is tonight that God's people, that God's children, should take time to pray and to seek God's face. By the way, whether in good times or whether in bad times, we're looking at a situation tonight where this father is in desperate need for his son. But whether it's good times or bad times, we ought to pray and seek God's face. And the Scriptures are clear that fasting and prayer is a part of that seeking God's face. And so tonight I want to give you some truths from Matthew chapter number 17 here as we think about this matter of prayer and fasting, as we think about this thought, why couldn't we do it? Why couldn't we do it? Number one tonight, I want us to see the hopelessness of the child. The hopelessness of the child. Two things about this child. The devil controlled him, and the disciples could not cure him. The devil controlled him. The disciples could not cure him. You say, Pastor, how do you know that the devil controlled him? Because notice verse number 18. And you might say, well, it was a demon. Okay, but notice verse number 18. And Jesus, the Bible says in verse 18, rebuked the what? The devil. He was demon-possessed. And the Bible says, and he departed out of him. The hopelessness of the child, the devil controlled him, and the disciples could not cure him. And here's the point tonight. Look, this child, and this father for that matter, they needed someone who could help them. They were in a desperate circumstance. This father, the Bible says in verse number 14, there came a man, a certain man, kneeling down to him, verse 15, and he said, Lord, have mercy on my son. He's a lunatic. For oft times he falleth into the fire. No normal child is just going to fall in the fire, is he? No normal child is just going to fall in the water. No, he said he's a lunatic. Lord, have mercy on my son. And I brought him, verse 16, to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. This father needed someone to help his son. Listen, tonight, there are times when our children need us to be able to touch the throne of grace. There are times when our church family needs someone in their church. Now, by the way, that doesn't mean they can't touch the throne of grace, does it? That's not what I'm saying tonight. Because the Bible is very clear. We believe tonight in the priesthood of the believer, do we not? I think we all do tonight. We believe in the priesthood of the believer. Every single believer has access to go directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that, don't we? The Bible teaches it. We should believe it. But boy, isn't it wonderful when you can go to a spouse or you can go to a brother or sister in Christ, say, hey, I need somebody to pray with me about this. And you know that that individual is someone who daily is at the throne of grace. This father needed help. He came to the people that he thought could help him, right? Man, if anybody can help me, it's the disciples. If anybody can help me, it's the men who have walked with this man who has been healing people and who has been doing all of these miracles. If anybody can help me, it ought to be these men because they've walked with him. And so number one tonight, we see the hopelessness of the child. The devil controlled him. The disciples could not cure him. Secondly, we see the humility of the concerned. And by the way, who was the concerned in our story, in the passage? It's the father. The humility of the concerned in verses 14 and 15. His posture was humble and his plea was humble. The Bible says in verse number 14 that he knelt down. The Bible says that he pled with him. He said, Lord, have mercy on my son. By the way, in the book of Luke, in the gospel record of Luke, the same account, the same story, tells us that this was his only son. We don't see that here, but we see it in the account that Luke gives us. This was his only son. Lord, have mercy upon my son. We see the hopelessness of the child, but we see the humility of the concerned. Okay, I came to the people that I thought could help me, but they couldn't help, so let me go right to the source. Let me go right to the source. But dear friend, tonight, God help that when someone comes to us and says, hey, by the way, that's what we do on a Wednesday night. That's what we do on Sundays in our Sunday school classes. Most Sunday school classes, we take prayer requests. That's what we're doing. We're laying out prayer requests for other people to pray with us because we understand, or let me say it this way, because we are concerned about an issue. Whether it's a family issue, whether it's a financial issue, whether it's a spiritual issue, somebody to be saved, whether it's a young man who's just been saved, we want him to come to church. whether it's a young man who needs to be saved and we want him to come to church, there's a concern there. And when we pray and when we give prayer requests, what are we saying? I can't do this, but God can. I'm praying for it. Why don't you help me pray for it as well? So number one, we see the hopelessness of the child. The devil controlled him. The disciples couldn't cure him. Number two, we see the humility of the concerned. His posture was humble. His plea was humble. Thirdly, we see the healing from Christ. We see the healing from Christ. Verses 17 and 18, the Bible says he did what? He rebuked the devil. Notice what he says in verse number 17. He says, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." By the way, let me ask us tonight. It's not a trick question. Should the disciples have been able to cast this devil out? Yes. Absolutely. Jesus Christ had given them power to do so. Now, I understand the time period, and I understand the time period we live in, and I understand that the age of the apostles is gone, has ceased, and I know that, boy, that's a big deal today, is this continuationism or cessationism. That's a big argument today. Did some of the sign gifts cease, or did they all still continue today? That's a big argument in religious circles today. Are the apostles still for today? And the answer is no, and we can answer that from the Bible. So I just say all that simply to say this. I understand the time period here, and I understand the context. The apostles here had power to do that. Jesus Christ, I think it's very clear in the passage that they should have been able to do it, but they couldn't. And so that leads us to number four. Number three, the healing from Christ. Verse number 18, "And Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him." And notice this, the child was what? What's the word there? Cured. What did the father say in verse number 16 about the disciples? They could not cure him. But in verse number 18, the child was cured from that very hour. And then I want to give you number four. Number four, we see the howbeit of the circumstance. The howbeit of the circumstance. Verses 19 through 21. "Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, 'Why could not we cast him out?' Jesus said unto them, 'Because of your what? Belief.'" And can I submit to us tonight, even before we get, and we've already read it, but before we get down to verse 21, what was the reason for their unbelief? Now, some may argue with me tonight about this, but I think it's clear in the passage. Okay, their faith was weak. Why? I agree with that. Their faith was weak. Why? Okay, no doubt. Which means what? Okay, a spirit of fear. What else? John, say that again. They were trusting in themselves, which means they weren't doing what? Okay, they weren't trusting. We'll get it in a minute. That's true. That's all true. They weren't doing what? Okay, weren't trusting the Word of God. Faith, the power of God. Oh, that's right. What are we talking about tonight? Okay, faith. Verse number 21, look what he says. The howbeit of the circumstance. "Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." You know what that tells me they weren't doing? They weren't praying and fasting. They were trusting themselves. Maybe they were trusting the fact, hey, we spend all this time with Jesus. And some would say, well, they were with God. They didn't have to pray and fast. They were with God. Now, the Bible does say in another passage, when one comes to Jesus and he says, hey, why do your disciples not fast? They were disciples of John, and the disciples of John fasted. And they said, why do your disciples not fast? And he said, because they have the bridegroom with them here right now. But Jesus tells them in verse number 21, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. The howbeit of the circumstance, this circumstance demanded faith, and this circumstance demanded, that's the prayer. We pray, we have faith that, hey, I can't do it. What did we say about Hezekiah? The man who prays is professing his powerless position. And so this circumstance demanded faith. This circumstance demanded fasting. And it's obvious because they could not cast out the devil out of this child. It's obvious that they weren't communing the way that they were supposed to be communing. I'm thankful tonight. Listen, the Bible tells us, and Christ told His disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. He says, and ye shall receive what? Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Jesus Christ promised, look, when I go back, I'm not going to leave you here by yourself. What's the word He used in the book of John? He said, I'm not going to leave you what? Comfortless. The Comforter's going to come. He said, I'm not going to leave you here by yourself. The Comforter's going to come. And in Acts chapter 1, when He's getting ready to ascend to heaven, He said, but ye shall receive power. Listen, we have power. If you know Christ, Ephesians 1 tells us very clearly that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It's our earnest. It's like that earnest money that someone puts down, a down payment on a house to say, hey, I'm serious about this. You don't need to sell it to anybody else. I'm giving you earnest money. I want this house. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit is our earnest. God has put His stamp on us, and that stamp is through the Holy Spirit. Okay, we have the Holy Spirit. You say, Pastor, why can some touch the throne of grace differently than others can touch the throne of grace? And so there may be some tonight that don't agree with that, but I think it's very clear in the Scriptures. And so I would ask, why can some touch the throne of grace more quickly and more frequently than others? Why? We all have the Holy Spirit. But we're not all submitted to the Holy Spirit in the same manner. Our submission to the Holy Spirit makes a difference. All you have to do is read Galatians chapter 5 to understand that. The Bible speaks about the fruit of the flesh, and the Bible speaks about the fruit of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18, it tells us to be what? It tells us to be filled with the Spirit. That doesn't mean we get extra. The Holy Spirit isn't in parts, and when I got saved, I got a little bit of the Holy Spirit, and then I get a little bit more. No, I got the Holy Spirit. But you've heard the phrase, and maybe it's a little quaint phrase, but it's true. It helps us to understand. But here's the thing. Every single day, how much of me does the Holy Spirit have? I've got the Holy Spirit. But some days, I can allow myself to be yielded to the flesh, whereas other days, I'm like, yes, I'm going to die today, and I'm going to be yielded to the Spirit. And I'm abiding. What does John 15 say? We are to abide. I am the vine, you are the branches. We're to abide in Him. Jesus says in verse number 17, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. They come in verse 19. Jesus, why couldn't we do that? He says, why could not we cast him out? And what was the answer? Very simply, one word. Unbelief. What was the cause of that unbelief? Verse 21. He says, this only comes by prayer and fasting. They weren't communing the way that they were supposed to be communing. They weren't praying. They weren't fasting. They weren't doing that which draws us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Father. If you have the Holy Spirit tonight, if you're saved tonight, you have the Holy Spirit. God desires, and the Spirit desires for us to commune with Him, commune with the Father, commune with the Son on a daily basis. And prayer and fasting is part of that. You say, Pastor, does that mean we have to fast every day? No. The Bible doesn't teach us that we fast every day. The Bible doesn't teach us that fasting is just food per se. That's what Christ fasted from. I think it'd be a great thing. And I think about this often. And I think it'd be hard today. But I sure think it'd be great if we fasted from our phones for maybe a week. What do y'all think? Would it be possible? I mean, we're so tied to them, aren't we? Our business, our work, and the things we do, we're just tied to our phones. And that's not a bad thing. I'm not saying that's bad. But man, how much closer, how much more in tune, how much more worshipful would we be if we set the phone down for a week? It's just a thought. How much more worshipful would we be if we maybe took a week and we fasted lunch and breakfast and lunch? Because when we fast, here's the truth. When we fast from food and that first growl comes, you know what you think about? I need to pray. Well, actually, when that first growl comes, the first thought is, candy bar would be good right now. But no, you know what that does? It makes you think, why am I doing this? Because I want to pray. Because I want to be closer to my God. I want to be more in tune with God. I want God to speak to me. I want to commune with Him. I need to seek His face. I need to pray. I need to praise Him. I need to ask Him for things. I just need to be in better communication with Him. And the disciples weren't. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Verse 20, because of your unbelief, for verily. Some might say, well, man, what kind of belief do you have to have? Look what he says. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. And the Lord Jesus Christ is so wonderful with word pictures because we understand that the mustard seed was such a small seed. And he said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, by the way, what was the object of their faith? Christ. We talk about faith. Okay, faith is important, but even more important is the object of our faith. A lot of people that have faith, but they have faith in the wrong thing. He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So let me ask us tonight, is there a circumstance in our life? Very first thing we talked about, the hopelessness of the child. Do you have a situation in your life tonight? It may not be with your child, but maybe it's just with you. Maybe it's a financial situation. Maybe it's a medical situation. Maybe it's just a spiritual situation that you say, Lord, I am not as close to you as I should be. Maybe it's that. Then you know what we need to do? We need to get in His presence more. We need to be in His presence more. You know, I was thinking today as I was walking through the outline of the message, just thinking today, I was thinking about many times in my past, times that I have wasted when I could have been in the presence of God. And one thing that came to mind before we moved here, and when I worked in Nashville as an auditor, about the last 3 years that I worked there before the Lord called us here, I primarily worked in Huntsville, Alabama every week. My office was still Nashville, but we had clients in Huntsville, Alabama, and it was just a big city, you know. I mean, if you know anything about Huntsville, it's even bigger now. And so for the last 3 years, just about every week, I was in Huntsville about 3 days a week. And from our house, we lived in the southern part of Middle Tennessee, but even from our house, it was about an hour to hour and a half, depending on what part of Huntsville I went to. And so 3 days a week, every week, for about 3 years, I'm in my vehicle about 4 hours those 3 days. Now, those days I prayed, and I listened. Sometimes I listened to preaching, and sometimes I listened to music, and I did lots of different things, but I was thinking today, you know what? A lot of my time was spent doing in that vehicle, listening to talk radio. Is talk radio bad? Not necessarily, I don't think. Whether it was political talk radio or sports talk radio, I spent a lot of that 4 hours listening to the radio. And I was just thinking today, what a waste. And again, I'm not saying that that's bad. Those things are bad. I'm just saying that was a lot of time. I could have been spending more time in the just turning it all off and just being in the presence of God. I mean, it was just me in that vehicle. Riding up I-65 three times a week. It was a lot of time. I could have been in the presence of my God. And I thought today, how much of a better daddy would I have been? And a better husband, a better church member, a better Sunday school teacher, a better deacon would I have been during those 3 years if I had spent more time in the presence of God? If I had spent more time in prayer and fasting, if some of those 3 days, instead of going through the McDonald's drive-thru every day or whatever the drive-thru was, just saying, you know what, lunch today, I'm not doing it. And I'm just going to take that time and spend with the Lord. Before my next appointment, I'm just going to take the time and spend with the Lord today. Why is it important? It was important for this father because of the hopelessness of his child. And there's a lot of people in our sphere of influence that they live hopeless lives. And they need someone that they can come to that can pray on their behalf. You know, Jonathan's coworker came to him today. Jonathan's coworker doesn't go to church. Jonathan's coworker doesn't think about God. But when a tragedy happened in his sphere, it wasn't his family, it was just a friend. But when tragedy happened, you know who he came to? Someone who he knows. And I'm not saying that because I think my son's perfect, because he's not. I live with him. Now, I've lived with him for 23 years. I know better. But he knows Jonathan goes to church. He knows Jonathan doesn't do everything else that some of the other co-workers do. And he came to him and said, hey, would you put this family on your prayer list? You see, there are hopeless people out there who need people who are consciously and constantly living in the presence of God. so that when they have an issue, they can come and say, hey, would you pray for me? And they know, hey, this individual lives at the throne of God. This individual lives at the throne of grace. The hopelessness of the child, the humility of the concern, the healing from Christ, and the howbeit of the circumstance. This circumstance demanded faith, verse number 20. This circumstance demanded fasting, verse 21. Fasting acknowledges His preeminence, and fasting asks for His power. It acknowledges His preeminence, and it's asking for His power. Lord, I have Your Holy Spirit, but I want that Spirit to be manifested. I want that Spirit. I want to abide in You. I want to be yielded to You so that I can have access to that Spirit and that power constantly. We all have the Spirit. But how much are we yielded to Him? How many of us are bearing and producing the fruit of the Spirit tonight? And it all depends on if you're yielded to Him, if you're filled with the Spirit. Why couldn't we do that? Because of unbelief. What was the cause of unbelief? Not the communion that they needed. The fasting and the prayer that were necessary. Boy, I just came tonight to challenge us. I really came tonight to challenge me. We have hopeless people all around us. And they need people to go to the throne of grace for them. Can they go to the throne of grace? Absolutely. But boy, it's good when you have somebody else going with you. The Bible tells us in Galatians 6 that we're to bear each other's burdens. Especially in the household of faith, we're to bear each other's burdens. God, help us to do that. Father, we love You tonight. Thank You for the passage. Father, help us to be a people of prayer. Help us to be a people who fast. Father, not because it gains us some merit in salvation, but simply, Lord, because it fixes our attention upon Your preeminence. It acknowledges, we acknowledge that we're helpless, we're powerless, and we need the power from on high. Father, help us to be a people that we are ready for the howbeit circumstances. And we're a people who pray and fast. Lord, Father, help us as we do that right now. I pray that You'd incline Your ear toward us, and we'll thank You for it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's